Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have once again in our online studio, T-Essence Mack. Hey, T-Essence.
Hello.
So glad you could join us today.
Yes, it's good to be here. So today here on the show, we are going to have some exciting news as we talk about the Thrive Homeschool Conference. That's always fun to talk about. So we're going to listen to a conversation that you had with our new Region 8 liaison, Karen Perez. And you guys had a fantastic discussion about single parent homeschooling. So that's going to be really good to listen to. And then with Homeschool Helps with Amanda, she's going to talk about the nuances and practical aspects of pulling a student out of school middle of the year and starting a homeschool journey. So good show today.
That's great.
Yes. So talking about this Thrive Homeschool Conference, which I love. Sanaya is already excited about it. We are already like
counting that's great.
Down. Yes, because we're going to leave the little kids
great
in
time.
Yes. So that is going to be May 23rd to the 25th. And conference registration opens up this week with early bird prices available until February 29th. So definitely want to get those tickets as soon as possible.
That's right. And the other great information is that we have a children's program that goes with the conference, so that if you have some kids you want to bring along, but you don't want to bring them into all the sessions, you can let them be a part of the children's program, which is put on by Giant Cow Ministries. And so at the same time on Tuesday that the registration for the conference is open, the registration for the kids program will be open as well. And they also have early bird registration till February 29th. So this is the time, this is when you want to get it on your calendar, but you even want to register because you're going to get a better deal and then it's done and you don't have to think about it and you're ready to go. So I'm really excited about being there as well. You can go to nche.com/thrive, find out more about the conference, register there and get the link to go to the children's program as well.
Yes. And Giant Cow is such a great ministry. So yeah, it's fun to be a part of. So now we get to listen to the homeschool conversation that you had so that we can get to know our newest Region 8 liaison. Again, her name is Karen Perez, and she is one of our members who is actually going to talk to us about her journey as a single parent who is homeschooling. So let's check that out.
We have the privilege today of talking with Karen Perez, and she is our somewhat brand new, Region 8 liaison. And if you're aware of the regions in our state, this would include the counties Hoke, Scotland, Cumberland, Robeson, Bladen, Sampson, and Columbus. Karen, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to me.
Thank you so much for forcing me out of my comfort zone to join you.
Yeah, this is great. Now, our liaisons are a part of the NCHE team to help provide support to parents and groups in their regions. And so if you're in one of those counties, then Karen is someone who's available to you. You can reach her at region8@nche.com. So anyway, we want to take a little bit of time just to introduce her, to get to know her as a new member of our team, so you can connect with her. And we also have a topic today because we had one of our listeners ask a question, which was, can you provide some more discussion on single parent homeschooling? And Karen is a single parent homeschooler. And so we just want to get her on and have a little bit of conversation about that. So it sounds like from your story that you started out homeschooling as not a single parent. So,
correct.
Is that right? So, how did that affect the journey? Did you ever think of quitting when you were a single parent, or what challenges then presented themselves?
So many challenges. So, one, the financial is a huge one, and trying to figure out what that would look like going forward. I refer to the other person is my wayward spouse. And originally why I did not start homeschooling were his concerns. That was very foreign to him. I grew up with people that homeschooled. So we started mm-hmm. where I was taking a little bit more of the lead, and this is what I think would really be best for him. Fast forward, when we moved, it was good. It was working. We saw benefits. He was supportive of it at one point, and then suddenly he was not. It was not a kind situation. It was not a mutual okay. decision. So finances were a huge concern to the other party, and having the boys in school would have meant less money towards me. And so my original concern was that a judge would require that I had to put my boys in school.
Right.
And there was a lot of fear within that. And so while having to begin, I had a spouse who left. I was hurt and devastated. My children were hurt and devastated. We're grieving. We're homeschooling. I had a child that needed some additional needs and attention. I lost my community, my military community. It was one of the most awful experience and times in my life. But we were in a plan and a program, and I kept going. I was determined that I was going to fight for this. I knew we had the Homeschool Legal Defense Fund is an option. We talk about things being a spiritual battle. And I was definitely in a spiritual war. And so all of the main things that were most important to my heart for the well-being of what was best for my children, I was waging a prayer battle and really praying that the Lord would somehow make these things, this plan that we had before that was at one point good, that this other person would recognize that. And even in the midst of whatever choices he was making, that he would recognize that this really was best for them. And that I was doing a good job within this, and that he couldn't deny that. And so to seek something else would really mean to hurt our kids. And my prayer was that he would acknowledge that.
One of the big challenges you've mentioned is financial. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could mention any other challenges that come with homeschooling kind of by yourself and in the sense of parenting. And how did you handle those? You know, how did you try to overcome the things that you were facing?
So finances becomes the big one right off the bat, because it's a change. It's a change in family income. It's a change in lifestyle. It's a change in, do we get to stay in the home? Do we not? Everything has been uprooted, and you feel like you're living in a bit of a tornado for a while. For me, the gift of homeschooling was such a blessing during that early on season. And since then, because it's been a very lengthy battle that I've had to endure. I don't know how I would have gotten kids up to go and drop them off at school, knowing that there was just devastation at home. We took time where we needed to be, like, school was an important priority, but so were our hearts, and so were my children's hearts. And so I grieve when other families are in school and kids are having meltdowns in school and classroom. I thought, we had a lot of meltdowns, but we did those at home. And we adjusted, or it'd be a day where, you know what, we're going for a walk right now. We're going to go ride bikes. We're going to the park. I had the freedom to be able to do that to help the three of us begin to heal in a healthy way. Healing healthy was important for us. We were part of two different groups. And so having something set in our schedule was a good thing to look forward to every week. When I was a military spouse, if you're dealing with a deployment, you know, you have this huge chunk of time when you're away from your family member. And if you take the whole year at a time, it's overwhelming. But when you chunk things down into small little bits and you have something special for each little, you know, time period, it makes that smaller time period its goals, its small little goal setting. It doesn't feel so overwhelming. I did that in our monthly homeschooling plan. So we had rewards. We spent time in places that my kids enjoyed. I am a coupon queen when I need to be. And so we spent a lot of time in the libraries. We spent time just sometimes because there was a lot of grieving at home. We also spent time with people where we knew that we needed to get out and we needed to see people and had to force ourselves to connect. But within those people groups, they were safe people for my kids. And there were people that I trusted. And for me in particular, having boys, I had some I've had wonderful men in my son's lives who have been their mentors that I trusted. My sons needed to be around healthy marriages. They needed to see Christ loving godly men and how they love their wives. They need to see healthy, godly women, how they return and love their husbands. They needed to see healthy families. So that was a big thing. The finances, I went to, we were doing classical conversations. That's the main curriculum that I have used in that program. And that program is really big on community. But I stepped up into a leadership position. And the pay is not a lot, but it allowed to assist and help offset costs for what I was putting towards my kids. I sold things. We had garage sales where we were going through things and selling things. We were doing yards. My boys were helping to do some yards for neighbors. I was babysitting for some people. I was doing odd chores. I cleaned a couple people's homes, you know, during a season. We did a lot of different odd things. There were different scholarships for things. And so humility was one of the greatest things that I've learned in the last many years. I am not somebody who likes to ask for help. I can do it all by myself kind of a girl. And I learned very quickly, no, I can't. And or I can, but I'm going to be very, very unhappy and I'm going to make it harder. And so if I would learn to ask for help, and if the answer was no, that was okay. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was going to be a yes. And in a time where I was dealing with feeling embarrassed and I felt shame and this failure of a marriage and divorce and in a Christian community, we were so loved and so embraced, and that made me feel comfortable and confident and not judged to be able to seek out help between our homeschool community and my church. My church was huge. I had I still have a wonderful Sunday school class. We have a fantastic church. An example of that is one of my Sunday school teachers. He is a handyman, and I've used him several times for things around the house to help me fix things. What he charged me and what he would charge somebody else, he gave me a huge discount on things. And so when Ronnie would come in, and because my boys were home, not only was he blessing me, he was helping me, but he as well would spend time with my kids. He's talking to my boys, checking with them. We were just loved on in ways that were really, really special.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. This segment and next segment, we are going to talk about what do you do when you are pulling someone out of school to start homeschooling. So this is super common, even this time of year. You know, we got done with Christmas break and maybe some families are like, okay, Christmas break was awesome and I don't want to send my kids back to school, or whatever. Whatever pushed them over the edge, a lot of people are starting to homeschool right this minute. So we are going to talk about it. What do you do? So we're going to do a focus on practical steps of how do you get started with homeschooling when you're pulling someone out of school. And then next time we will focus more on just encouragement. Maybe it's a little unusual as far as board members on the NCHE board, but I did pull somebody out of school to homeschool 19 years ago now. Our oldest daughter went to school from kindergarten to third grade, and then we did pull her out. And the idea at that point was we will homeschool for a year and work on some issues and then get her caught up on some things. And then the plan was at that time to send her back after a year. And here we are 19 years later. There's many, many factors that went into that decision to continue with homeschooling, which maybe I'll share that another time. Just my personal homeschool story, but I just want you to know that I do understand what it's like to pull somebody out of school and start homeschooling. In particular, and this we'll focus more on this next time with the encouragement, is pulling someone out of school maybe who's a little unwilling. I have experienced that as well. But practical things. What do you need to know if you're pulling someone out of school? Number one, you need to know the law. I have focused on this a lot of times on Homeschool Helps with Amanda. So there are many videos out there focusing on what do you do step by step as far as the law. You need to open your own homeschool. You need to do what you need to do to follow the law. One important thing that I have seen people mention multiple times recently is they have pulled somebody out of school or they are planning to, and they have signed them up with an online private school. They've had a lot of voices telling them, oh, it's fine. If you sign them up for this private school, then you don't need to open a homeschool. That is not true. There is no provision in our North Carolina law for online private schools. So in North Carolina right now, this may change, but right now, either you are enrolled, your child has to be enrolled in a public school, physical or virtual. There are virtual public schools. They must be enrolled in a private school, physical. Private schools must have a physical presence in the state of North Carolina, or they must be enrolled in a homeschool, registered homeschool with the state of North Carolina. So if you sign them up for that online private school, that's fine, perfectly fine. However, that is considered just a curriculum provider in North Carolina. So you still need to follow the law and open your homeschool. The second practical thing that you will hear a lot of people mention is the idea of de-schooling. So this is the idea of when you pull someone out of school, out of brick and mortar school to homeschool, it is a good idea to take some time for you and for them to sort of a transition period, a time when you can kind of switch in your mind, transition in your mind from that public school mindset to a homeschool mindset. And your child can also transition from that mindset. They can take some time to separate themselves mentally and emotionally from their school situation that they were in before and be ready to really jump in to this new homeschool situation. So those are really the main practical things that I would tell you. The other last thing would be, and I've mentioned this a million times, seek out in real life support, whether that's through NCHE, whether that's through a local homeschool group, whatever that looks like, you are going to need in real life support as a new homeschooler. Your student is going to need in real life support as a new homeschool student. So please seek out in real life support. All right. Hope that helps today.
So thanks for joining us this week. We'd love to hear from you. So send your questions and your feedback to thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. And if you think this show would be helpful to your friends, to your family, or anyone that you know is homeschooling or a supportive homeschooler, please let them know about it. Share on all of the platforms.
That's right. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.